Let's read John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. Now, in this last portion of John 18, we have the record of our Lord's civil trial before Pilate. John 18, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Once again, a few background notes. The reason for the civil trial of our Lord before Pilate was because the Jews could not carry out the death penalty. Now, sometimes Rome would look the other way, as in the martyrdom of Stephen, Acts chapter 7. But officially, Rome had to carry out the death penalty. Pilate was a Roman procurator, and his jurisdiction included Samaria and Judea. His headquarters was in Caesarea, along the Mediterranean coast. In 1961, an inscription containing Pilate's name was uncovered at Caesarea, thus confirming, once again, the Bible's accuracy. Normally, Pilate stayed in Caesarea, but during the feast days, he would come up to Jerusalem because of the great number of Jews that would be coming in from all over the empire for the Passover. When you had a great crowd of Jews in Jerusalem, you always had the chance for an uprising. After all, the Jews did not like Rome being in power. Now, where Pilate stayed in Jerusalem, we can't be sure. Verse 28 and verse 33 refer to the praetorium. This word can mean either a temporary palace or military headquarters. So it was either the fortress of Antonia, which was at the northwest corner of the temple complex, or it was on the west side of the city at Herod's palace in that area. In any case, it was at the praetorium where our Lord's civil trial took place before Pilate. Notice in verse 28 that the Jewish leaders would not go into the praetorium because it was a Gentile place, and they did not want to be ceremonially defiled because it was the time of the Passover. Think of it, plotting to do away with the Lord and yet not wanting to get themselves defiled. How blinded can you be? It's like religious people today not failing to pray for their food, but at the same time, maybe even at the same meal, plotting to hurt some other person because of jealousy or revenge. Well, so much for background notes for this last section of John 18. What about the doctrinal or teaching points? Doctrinal point number one. The Lord's death by crucifixion was predetermined. The Lord's death by crucifixion was predetermined. Verses 31 and 32. Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." The reason the Jewish leaders brought Jesus to Pilate was because the Sanhedrin, the governing body of the Jews, did not have the authority to put a person to death. If the Jews had had that authority, they would have executed the Lord by stoning. That was the Jewish way. It would have been based on the false charge of blasphemy. But it was predetermined that the Lord would die by crucifixion. Verse 32 again, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. When did the Lord indicate that he would die by crucifixion? Well, a number of times. We've seen three times already in the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John 8, 28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And of course, we know from other scriptures that the Lord's death by crucifixion was predetermined from eternity past. The Holy Spirit inspired David to write Psalm 22, that great messianic psalm, speaking of the suffering and death of the coming Messiah. And in verse 16, we read, they pierced my hands and my feet. Psalm 22, verse 16, a prediction of the Lord's death by crucifixion. In Peter's sermon at Pentecost, we read this amazing statement, Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. The Lord's death by crucifixion was predetermined. This fact in no way excuses the evil perpetrated by the Jewish leaders. They knew that they could not get Rome to enact the death penalty for blasphemy. That was a Jewish matter. That's why they trumped up this charge of treason against Rome. They tried to make the Lord's messianic claims out to be a threat to Rome. That's why Pilate questions the Lord about being a king. I'm sure the Jewish leaders used the triumphal entry, which Pilate certainly would have known about, as part of their case. The Jewish leaders bear the responsibility for this wickedness. But you see, it does work into the predetermined plan that the Lord's death would be by crucifixion. The Lord's death by crucifixion was predetermined. Doctrinal point number two, although Christ's kingdom is not of this world, Christ will have an earthly kingdom. Although Christ's kingdom is not of this world, Christ will have an earthly kingdom. Look at verse 36. Jesus answered to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. By this statement, the Lord is not denying his future millennial kingdom here on earth. He's not preaching amillennialism here. What the Lord is doing here is he's informing Pilate as to the character of his kingdom. It was not a worldly kingdom that would threaten Rome's power, as the Jews were trying to make it appear. The Bible certainly teaches that Christ will reign on this earth. He will have an earthly kingdom. Read Revelation chapter 20 in this connection. The Lord is not denying that truth here. Although Christ's kingdom is not of this world, Christ will have an earthly kingdom. Doctrinal point number three. The bottom line is what is true. The bottom line is what is true. In response to the Lord's statement in verse 37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, Pilate makes his well-known statement, what is truth, in verse 38. Now, what did Pilate mean by that? Was he being philosophical here? Was he being sarcastic? Was he really interested in what is the truth? Well, we can't be dogmatic on the point. Most likely, he was thinking that the bottom line was not truth, but power. In view of the power and authority of Rome, what difference does the truth make? Who cares? Pilate was wrong. The bottom line is not power. The bottom line is what is true. A person's ultimate destiny is determined not by how much power they have, or prestige, or popularity, or pull, or whatever, but does that person believe the truth? The bottom line is what is truth. Your destiny is determined on that basis. Do you believe what is true? You know, I had a person say to me not too long ago, you know, I can't believe that there's a hell. I can't believe that a good God would have eternal punishment in hell. All right, that settles the issue, right? No. The bottom line is not what you think should be or the way it should be. The bottom line is what is true. Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're going on some basis of what you think is the right way? The bottom line is what is true. Have you accepted the truth that Jesus is the only way of salvation? You know, the Lord is definitely reaching out to Pilate here to see if Pilate would respond to the truth. I have come into the world that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Don't you see that appeal there to Pilate? In fact, I think if you go back to verse 34, I think you see the Lord even here making an appeal to Pilate. Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this? Or did others tell you this about me?" In other words, are you really, Pilate, personally interested here? But Pilate shows no interest here, or after his comment about what is truth. The bottom line for Pilate was not what is true. He was wrong. The Bible teaches that the bottom line is what is true. Practical application. Do we make decisions like Pilate? Do we make decisions like Pilate? Pilate concluded in verse 38, "I find no fault in him at all." So what did he do? Did he release the Lord Jesus, who was innocent? No. He released Barabbas, a convicted thief. And we know from Luke chapter 23, verse 19, Barabbas was not only a convicted thief, he was a convicted insurrectionist and a convicted murderer. And yet Pilate releases him. Why did Pilate make a decision like that? Because it was self-serving. Because from Pilate's viewpoint, it was better for him. It was better for his career. It would make him more popular with the Jews. It would make his Roman superiors happy because he would be keeping peace in Jerusalem. Justice didn't matter to Pilate as much as his status. Do we make decisions like Pilate? We sometimes accuse lawyers of carrying out justice in this way. They don't care about justice, only what they can get out of it. But what about us? Do we make decisions like Pilate? Are you right now hiding the truth or manipulating the truth in some situation to suit your own purposes, your reputation, your welfare, your advancement, your career? What's in it for me? Are you making a decision like Pilate? Oh, you may not be rejecting Christ as Pilate did, but you're certainly hurting the cause of Christ. Let's all ask ourselves that question. Do we make decisions like Pilate?